Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of TFG Radio. Tonight, if you're watching anyway, you'll notice, or listening, you notice we won't have, John won't be with us today. John is
He's taking the reenactment tour on the road, baby.
Yeah, he's going out to reenact Custer's Last Stand. We don't know if he's going to be with Custer or Reno, whose detachment he's going to be with, but we'll find out once he gets back. So hopefully, John has a good time. We're also missing
Spreading
Tom.
Spreading that salt across America.
Yes. We're also missing Tom because Tom is having another kid. So.
Poor bastard.
Yeah, poor guy.
He knows how that works, doesn't he?
Yeah. So, but tonight we do have a special guest from Flying Monkey Wargaming Podcast, Brian Hunter, otherwise known as Bam Bam.
What's happening, fellas?
So the reason I have him on, if you don't know, is two weekends ago, we had our first 40K 9th Edition Grand Tournament, which was hosted and run by Mr. Brian Hunter, which actually was the same day it was released. So, Bam, why don't you take us through the how it all worked out? Because I know I don't think you planned it, right?
It was completely by accident. Like, I came to him. I'll walk you guys there if you got the time for it. So,
yeah.
AdeptCon was supposed to happen, I think, in March.
Yes.
So initially, I wanted to run a GT level event at my shop because if you guys don't know, I own Wizards Asylum in Wichita, Kansas, and I wanted to run a GT level event because not everybody can get to AdeptCon. You know, it's a big to do. It's a lot of road miles, and I wanted something for the local guys to have. And then I knew some people weren't going to make it to AdeptCon, so I was definitely encouraged, like, okay, we're going to try and do a GT. And so I set up to do this GT, and then AdeptCon got canceled. And a lot of people were like, hey, is your tournament still going? I was like, yeah, it's still going. And so I had people sign up for my tournament, and we, like, easily got above the GT level. And then the Rona hit. And when the Rona hit, it was like, well, you know, plans are kind of off for a minute. And the good thing about it, though, was, you know, like a lot of GTs, for those that don't organize tournaments or don't, you know, like you pretty much you put a deposit on a place, you get a date, you set up the location, and you pray that everything goes right and you can hit your target. Well, the good thing about, like, me owning the store was, like, there's no deposit, there's no doing anything. All I got to do is just reschedule the date and move on.
And, right, man, so you don't have the liability, essentially, of, man, I put down 10 grand to hold this convention center, and now I'm fucked.
Yeah, but there is the balance of trying to keep, Adam, you need to clean that office, dude. That's sad. He can't even hear me.
Purposely.
There's a tournament in this region that's called Show Me Showdown that's in July, and Show Me Showdown canceled because the area that it was in, they couldn't do anything. And so I went ahead and set my tournament that weekend, you know, hoping my restrictions wouldn't be as bad and that we'd be able to do it within, you know, whatever the rules of the guidelines were. Because I've told myself this whole time that if I can do it and I can do it within the rules, I'm going to do it. If I can't do it within the rules, I'm just going to reschedule. And for the most part, you know, whatever the rules, I think I refunded like a total of 3 tickets.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, some people just said, like, hey, can I just have my ticket and store credit? You know, so I probably had, like, 5 or 6 people that I just gave them store credit for their ticket when they canceled. So it worked out pretty good. And, you know, like I said, and so I've kind of given you the timeline of how we wound up in July, right? So we had this this March date, Corona hits. We had this May date, restrictions. And then we're shooting for the July date. Well, in the meantime, you know, this originally was supposed to be an 8th edition event. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, GW's like, hey, look at this cool stuff that's coming out. And we had started getting word of the Indominus box.
Well, in the meantime,
and,
you know, this originally was supposed to be
you
an
guys,
8th edition event.
I'm sure you guys know, mm-hmm. but, like, I was getting hit up left and right. Like, hey, what's going to happen with the new edition? What's going to happen with the new edition? And I'm like, hey, we're just going to play it by ear. We're going to play it by ear. We're going to play it by ear. And then people were like, well, what if the release date's the week before? I was like, dude, if it's the week before, we're running with it. And they're like, well, what if it drops on that day? I'm like, man, I'm kind of iffy on doing it if it happens that day, but I'll think about it. And so then I told myself, like, okay, 8th edition, when it dropped, all the rules got out in the wild early. So if the rules get out early and the points get out early, then I'm probably going to just say, you know, screw it, we're going with it. And, of course, guess what happened? You know, the rules get leaked, the points get leaked, the GT packet starts to get leaked. And so about a, you know, week and a half out, I was like, we're just going to go with 9th. So I really thought if I would have still ran an 8th edition tournament on the weekend that 9th edition came out, I wasn't going to have a GT, and I wasn't going to have the interest in it because people would want to be at home cracking their Dominus boxes, you know, and playing the new game. So I went with it. So that was one hurdle that I had. In addition to that, the way that we were structured here in Kansas, like I was telling Adam earlier when we were chatting, you know, my area is a metro area of, you know, 500 some thousand people. And we've had a total of like 85 corona deaths. And the median age is like 79 years old. You know, so like it's serious. It's something to be considered, but it just hasn't hit us like it has other places like California or Florida.
Right.
And so I don't think our rules are as restrictive. So basically our state guidelines were you could have groups up to 14 people as long as they were 6 feet away from another group of 14 people, 6 feet away from another group of 14 people. And you could have up to a total of like 45 at an event if you had the space for it. And so I've got a pretty good sized store with three separate areas. There's a main room. There's technically a gaming room that has a half wall and like a display wall. And then there's a back room where there's, you know, gaming tables in the back room too. So I had three separate areas. And my thoughts were, you know, that if I had between 30 and 36 people, that I should be able to follow the rules, keep everybody in their area. And so, like, I was mathing in my head and writing out little maps, and basically me and my employees wound up putting down, like, tape on the floor. So, like, we had a path for people to walk. We had 6 feet of separation between the three areas, and the players were supposed to stay in their area until, like, we took a break, you know, and then everybody can go wash their hands, do whatever they're going to do, and then we could rotate areas. And masks were mandatory. So it was kind of a pain in the ass. You know, I miss the days of just, like, grabbing your shit and just running to the next table. Or, like, when you get done with the game, going over and seeing what your buddy's table's doing or what they're up to. You know, but you necessarily just couldn't do that at this tournament. And I only had to yell. The funniest moment in the whole tournament, though, to me was I know both these guys. One of them is, like, a hard right MAGA dude. And the other one is like a far left Trump derangement syndrome dude. And guess what table I had to tell both the players to put the fucking mask back on. it was that table. And I was like, man, the irony going on right now, you know, but they did, they put their mask back on. And, anybody I had to like warn or say something to them, mask back on. You know, it was that table. And I was like, man, jugs of hand sanitizer at the store. And we had a big food truck in the parking lot, so when guys were eating, they weren't eating inside all congregated up. You know, they were going outside and eating off the food truck outdoors. And like I said, it was manageable because, you know, it was 30 people. If it would have been, you know, a major level GT, I couldn't have pulled it off without a bigger venue. And that's pretty much. But like I said, the run in the first 9th edition tournament was not on purpose. It was completely on accident, and it happened to be that I just scheduled it the weekend at 9th was dropping, and I decided to go just roll with it, man. And just rolling with it, people went with me, so it worked out.
It wasn't just to spite the Australians that were wanting to claim the first 9th edition tournament.
No, it wasn't. So, yeah, I don't know if you guys know Dan Sammons or not. Dan Sammons is a high-level player in the Midwest, right. And, like, the last two GTs I've went to, like, he's won them, and it pisses me the fuck off because he beat me in the Lord Marshall standings. But Dan was hitting me up, like, a month out. He was like, dude, I'm not playing 8th. Dude, I'm not playing 8th. I want to play 9th. Dude, I'm going to play. I'm like, man, calm your tits.
Well, yeah, because
you know, let's see what happens. And, yeah. And so We got there, and it wasn't bad. Like, we did, you know, one dilemma was, you know, all of us internet sleuths are us guys that, like, live and breathe 40K content. You know, we'd seen the GT packet leaks. We'd seen the points.
Yeah.
And so we were already out there, like, writing our list, having an idea what was going to be what. And there were some people that really just aren't that tuned in. So what we did when we got there Saturday morning was I had everybody write handwritten lists. And I had three guys that were checking the list with the GT, the points book. I can't remember what it's called. So basically they were giving their handwritten list to one of the three guys, and one of them was Duncan, who judges Flying Monkey with me.
Yeah.
And they were checking lists. And all of us checking 30 lists that were handwritten, we still had some that got through the cracks. And rolled into the tournament, but it wasn't a big deal. Like, a couple of them were over points. Some of them, like the Relic Sakarin, tank. But I didn't know. It went from being an elite choice to a heavy choice.
Yeah.
Right.
And, I didn't know. And, someone's list had that. And, you know, so you just give them a yellow card. We tried to fix their list to where it wasn't, like, drastically changing the flavor of the list. And just playing, like, you know, it was the Wild West, and we were just winging it. So it wasn't like I was super hard on these guys that, you know, went over on points because they didn't know they had to pay for a weapon, or a weapon wasn't the cost they thought it was. And so, you know, you just give the guy a yellow card, make him fix his list, and then you just go to the next round. So that was really the only dilemma we had, was making sure that everybody, you know, got some kind of list out of the points, because it was the day of the edition, so we had to get it figured out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
No, go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead, Danny.
I was going to say, I mean, that seems like kind of the biggest hurdle to me would be, besides, you know, the Rona restrictions and how you physically manage the space, would be just list validation when an edition is technically, like, an hour old, right? And you having to still climb through the 80 source books that exist and then cross-referencing with the new updated points and yada, 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 yada.
It wasn't too bad. Like I said, I had three guys doing it, and I don't know if you guys know Ben Sherwin.
I know Ben.
You know, Ben Sherwin's a high-level player, and he was one of the guys that was checking the list. And Ben actually got a yellow card for his own damn list. We did our best. You know, but, you know, it's a thing, too. It's, oh, dude, no Doritos. No Doritos,
man.
On bases. So.
Damn.
I know. And that's one thing I did do differently. I did not do paint restrictions. So the fact that I knew that ninth was dropping that day and some guys were kind of just going to bring stuff and put something together, I wanted them to have that flexibility. And so, I waived the painting requirements, which we typically do at, you know, our bigger event like Flying Monkey, and, just so guys can kind of have fun. And sometimes I think it's nice to, you know, I'm a competitive player. Adam's seen me pissed off. I've argued with Adam judging in a tournament before. You know, I'm as competitive as they come sometimes. But I also think it's a good reminder that sometimes, like, we do this to have fun. And all these guys wanted to play the new edition. And I think as long as, like, everybody in the group has, like, this idea that, like, okay, we're doing our best and we're all just going to make this happen, as long as everybody's on board with that, like, you can have a good time, and you can make it happen, and that's pretty much what we did at the end of the day. So, even a mask. So.
How, so, I know a lot of you guys got the missions, we got the missions early because of the leak, so, but how do you think the missions played out overall for the event?
So, at first, I was in the crew. I think I was in that crew of not liking the missions. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not a fan of that Nova-style, you know, mass spread out across the board and control it style of play. Mm-hmm. I like to actually see stuff try to get
killed
on the table. So, like, I was a little bit not a fan of it. The more games I've gotten of ninth, my tone has softened on it. I still think there should be some tweaking. I think there's some, you know, I do think killing's important as far as, like, killing stuff off of objectives. So when people say that, like, killing isn't important, I don't think they're necessarily accurate, because if you get something on a unit that's on a objective that's OPSEC, you know, and that guy sits on there on three turns, the points can sneak up on you. You know, which when we did the old ITC missions, you know, you're sitting there with your opponent every turn and going one, one, one. you know, with these new missions, you might be on turn one going, okay, 0, 1, 1, but then like turn three, all of a sudden you're like 15, you know, and guys are kind of like, oh shit, like what just happened? And so we kind of saw some of that. So, there were some blowouts because some guys just, I don't think, adapted to the new secondaries easily. You know, so we had a couple of good players that put the hundo on, you know, some scrub they managed to get matched up on. And so that was kind of painful to watch. In general, though, you know, I think most of the guys got the hang of it by the end of the GT, okay. Which was kind of the fun thing to watch, was like these guys had never played these missions for the most part. And they straight up just hammered through, and come like turn two or three, games were wrapping up in a reasonable amount of time. And then games four and five on Sunday, you know, I think the only people we had go to the clock were the guys that I always see going to the clock. You know, if you gave them 4 hours, they'd be finished at 3:59, 3:99 or whatever. But it's, I don't know. I like the missions. I think some are an absolute trap. Some are just worthless. I think if you can figure out the ones that are playable or the ones that fit your play style, there are some good ones in there. But there are some that I don't think you're going to ever see, like Domination that's in there. That one's just stupid. If anyone tells you to take Domination, slap them. So,
that one reminds me of the – because I think that's basically from the tactical cards.
Hey, they got to get them in somewhere. Got to recycle that content somehow.
I guess.
They should have recycled it into the trash. But, and then, like, the Warlord one's kind of a trap. You know, if someone picks the Warlord one and they're playing me, like, they're not going to see my Warlord until turn three. You know,
right, yeah.
Like, I'll play Denial that all day. I'll put him in reserve and not get his reroll aura just to screw you out of the secondary points. And some of them I just feel are... You know, like, I get that they wanted them to be hard, but some of them I think they made so difficult to attain that, like, they're just not even going to be considered getting picked. And I'm not sure that was their intent in doing it. And it kind of almost had the opposite effect of what they were trying to do, because instead of thinking, like, oh, we're going to have all these that are kind of difficult and people aren't going to max out their secondaries, what they wound up with are a handful of secondaries that people are just going to not pick at all.
Right,
and I think you'll see that as the edition gets deeper and deeper.
Yeah, I mean, we
should, that answer we your question, the, Adam.
Yeah,
okay.
Somewhat. So, yeah, no.
You're never happy. You're never happy.
I think we kind of had the same thing in the ITC, because no one would pick pick your poison.
Yeah, that was one that one.
No one would pick that one. No one would pick. There was one other one that no one picked. I forget which one it was.
King of the Hill was very rarely picked.
It was King of the Hill. King of the Hill. So I think there's always going to be those missions or those secondaries that people just aren't going to respond to. And, but because there's so many in the GT packet, I can see a bunch of them not being used. And hopefully you're not playing Grey Knights or Thousand Suns, because there's the one where you like kill psychers, isn't there?
Oh yeah, no, that one's terrible for mids too. Where you get
Bore the Witch.
Yeah. You get 3 points for a psyker and like 5 points for a psyker character. And it's just like, oh, hey, Thousand Suns, Grey Knights, Tyranids, get fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what though? But for that secondary, Grey Knights sure the bee's knees. So from what I've seen out of them,
yeah.
Did pretty well.
I mean, that's a good question of how did, since, you know, any of us in the know who are following kind of the slow drip roll out of ninth, we're talking about, you know, the meta, and here's going to be the meta and what's going to, you know, shake out. So how was seeing an actual tournament with 5 games and 30 different lists? Like, did it kind of live up to what you thought? Like, yeah, that seemed like it was going to be, or were you surprised by anything that popped out?
Hey, you know, gamer's going to game. So we had the guys that tried to find the loopholes, you know, the guys that tried to abuse stuff, which I think you're going to have in any tournament.
Yeah.
My theory going into it, you know, which I think I've said on my podcast a few times, was I felt like durable units that were mobile would be king, and a lot of stuff that, you know, could get out across the board in a quick manner and durably sit in places, you know, won a lot of games. And that's kind of what I saw, which wasn't a huge surprise. The thing that was surprising was, you know, the smaller board, you know, you saw a lot of stuff go down a lot quicker. And, you know, and when people were talking about, you know, well, 4x6, you know, there were people out there saying they're still going to talk on the, about playing on the 4x6 because, you know, the new size, which is 44 by what, 60
yeah, or 60. 50,
whatever it is, you know, is the minimum size. I don't feel like the game, the way they've made these rules and these missions, is designed for the bigger board. So I like it on the smaller board, which I was kind of on the fence. I was thinking, like, you know, all my tables in the shop are 4x6. All my mats are 4x6. You know, I got to completely change all the logistics of what I have set up for 40K to play the new way. And I was kind of hoping that I would still be able to get the bigger board and get the bigger mats and still just do that. But after seeing the games played, I think you should play it on the actual size that they recommend. It's the way it interacts, and I think the way they design the secondaries and the missions and the, where the objectives are placed, like, you should use the new size. You know, it's that was the surprise for me, was it's hard to put into words kind of how it works on the board, but it feels like there was actually some thought put into the design, and I was actually happy to see that.
Okay. So Dan Sammons won, and he had, what, Space Marines and Sisters?
Yeah, fuck that guy. He did, man. So those guys don't know, I have Dan's on my podcast, and I was first place in Lord Marshall for 9 months, and Dan was third place in Lord Marshall for about that length of time, or second place. And then we went to a GT called the Branson Brawl, and he got first place, and I got third, and he leapfrogged me. But the amount of points he scored at that GT, like, he leapfrogged me in a way that I don't think I'm going to catch up to him. And then so the next two GTs in our region, I'm running them. So, like, I have chance of, like, I can't do anything. So, like, he's basically leapfrogged me, and I'm never going to regain that ground. But Dan's a great player, and I love the dude. He's kind of – but, yeah, he was running the Big Sisters list and with some support from the Space Marines. I think the detachment he had, you know, he was, of course, doing the, you know, the Master Artisan, stealthy thing. And he was using the new Eradicators, is that what they're called?
Oh, yeah, the Melta dudes.
The Melta Bros, and they were working pretty well for him. Dan's got a couple gimmicks that he does with Repentia, and with the new game, he was putting them into reserves, and when he brings them off a reserve, basically the miracle dice, he can guarantee his charge.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so he, and that's pretty much what he's doing, and Repentia, if they get to hit you before you see them, they're nasty. You
yeah.
know, they can wipe stuff off the board. And he had two fat units of Repentia that he was basically just, you know, putting in reserve and then auto-charging them out of deep strike. And then he had, you know, the other support elements that needed to be there to make that happen. And it was really a brilliant list. And I was watching him play, and he was using the Sisters, the other units, kind of spread out and control the board, block out things he wanted blocked out. And then he would set up lanes or set up things to get the Repentia into the stick of things. And I think he was also putting the Eradicators into reserve sometimes too, and then just bringing them off the table edge and smoking things. And he had a really good list. And I don't know, you know, I think Sisters, honestly, I think the Miracle Dice should be a lot like the Space Marines tactics thing, where, you know, Space Marines don't get doctrines if they're in a soup list. I think Sisters should probably have the same thing happen to their Miracle Dice, because in the hands of a high level player, like, it's such a broken mechanic. You know, the casual guy that sleeps with his Wafu pillow that's playing Sisters because he's, you know, never seen a woman's love in his life, like, that dude playing with Miracle Dice, no big deal, do it all
those
day.
Those things are expensive.
Yeah,
but so is 40K, but, you know.
Yeah, it is. So, but. It's I feel like that mechanic's a little bit strong. You know, I could be wrong, but we'll see what happens.
I vehemently disagree, and not because I have a small Sisters of Battle Force.
No, I mean, I think anytime you get to take probability out of this game, right? Yeah. Like, and be able to just say, this is the result I want. It just means a actually legitimately good player is going to get a million times more mileage out of that than someone who's just like, oh man, I only lost because my dice fucked me.
Don't talk about Duncan.
Well, an example, like you talk about that. I've been playing Emperor's Children. I joke and call it the Power Rangers list because I have like Mauler Fiends, mm-hmm. Venom Crawlers, Defilers, and two Lord Discordants. And, you know, Emperor's Children have a strat for one CP that you can change one of the dice to a six.
Yeah, it's great.
And so I can bring a Lord Discordant in from reserves, and when he comes onto the board, he can reroll his charge. So on two dice, rerolling, I just got to get 1-3. And then I can flip that other dice to a six, and for one CP, I pretty much guaranteed that Lord Discord is going to charge, you know, whatever I wanted him to charge out of reserves. So it's, you know, it does absolutely remove the randomness of it, and Dan's list takes advantage of that with the miracle dice in yeah. nasty way.
It really doesn't cost him anything.
It doesn't. Right. He just, and he's also bringing the fortification, so
he's getting miracle dice.
He's yeah. getting bonus miracle dice, and he's sitting over there with a fat pile of sixes and fives, and you know, just plucking them off when he needs them. So,
yeah, no, I mean that's something I thought about, you know, when we saw it in kind of the ninth rules drop is being able to put anything into reserve and outflank like you know the old fourth and fifth days. Right, just it opens up so many new units that always had the problem of, well, how do you get there? And if you have any way to boost charges out of reserves, it just that unit becomes actually good. And then sisters are the best at that because they don't have to worry about what do I roll or reroll. They can just be like, as long as I save a six and a three or a five and a four, I'm good, right?
Yeah. So
And so then you take what you're saying there and you put it in the hands of a high-level player. You know, the guy's going to run away with games, yeah. And that's what he's doing. So,
yeah, I mean, Lunchbox is asking, how did Adjudicator do at the GT?
Man, I have an unpopular opinion on Adjudicator. I just don't think he's going to be as good as people think he's going to be. Like, I think he's slogging around, walking. And anything that has to walk anywhere is just not that great in this game. You can put him in an impulsor, and then he's probably going to kill something and die. But there were not a whole lot of eradicators on table, or not eradicators, adjudicators on tables. Okay. I think Duncan ran one, and is the guy that took. I think Duncan took fourth or fifth with Blood Angels, went 4-1, and he liked him, but you know he was rolling him around with a bunch of Blade Guard. And getting him into stuff that way. I don't remember seeing or thinking that, you know, he was just murdering stuff and people weren't making comments about him. So, you know, it might be more balanced than people think. I personally don't think he fits in any list that I've built, but I'm nobody. So who gives a fuck what I think about it? So
now you're not.
I'll see. Adam's smart. He gave up the. He hung up the. I gave up the fighting gloves. Yeah. It's just like, oh, see, now I'm just going to Don King this, right?
I always state my pinnacle was the 2003 GT LA GT, which is now 17 years ago.
So, no, are you? But yeah, with the Adjudicator, I was looking and, you know, I've been reading a lot of stuff because my son fell in love with the, the Space Marine side of my Indominus box. And, I was planning on giving those to Salty John. And now, of course, I can't because he's like, oh, let's build them. I like them. So now I've been thinking about Space Marines list and looking at him. It's like, there's a lot of on paper. Oh, if you get him into combat and you can shut down this unit. So, you know, you just build them. Swing I like in, them. And it's just a lot of moving pieces that I don't know how consistently you can pull that off on the table, right? To actually get it. And, you know, I think I'd rather spend the, 85, 90 points somewhere else in most lists where like, why would I have this little trick piece that isn't always going to work, especially if my opponent knows like, oh, anything that charges into that blob and that Adjudicator gets in is going to fight last. Okay, whatever.
But I have, you know, I play Space Wolves. They're my main chick. You know, and I've got Armor of Rust. You know, so I've got something that's kind of done that. I've already got 6-inch heroic interventions. And so, like, I just don't see, I don't know, I don't see him the way other things do. And like, even Blood Angels. Blood Angels have a strat that lets any unit they have 6-inch heroically intervene.
Yeah.
You know, so I just don't, I don't know. I think for, he's valuable for the points, maybe. You know, I think he's, what, 85 points?
Yeah, I think so.
And I think he's fun to play with, but I just don't think he's going to be dominating tabletops. And he wasn't dominating stuff at the GT, so.
Okay. So coming up next, fingers crossed, is Flying Monkey Con. That's next week?
Yep.
Correct?
Next weekend, so.
So hopefully things.
And tomorrow, or it's looking good. Saturday is the 2-week anniversary of Wizards GT, and nobody's died yet. So
that's good.
Apparently, we're good on the mask wearing and everything else, and or at least nobody's told me they've died. So we'll see what happens. But it's we had to, man. So there is a different in comparison and contrast between what I had to do for Wizards GT with what myself and my buddies have to do for Flying Monkey Con, because Flying Monkey's a team of us. It's my buddy Matt Neely. Adam, you met Matt at Slaughterfest, I think.
Yeah, I did.
The biggest nipples a man will ever have are on Matt. So if you ever,
I did not witness that. So
yeah, oh yeah, okay. I can send you pictures.
Get him cold. Get him cold.
But Matt and myself and my buddy Duncan, who I affectionately call Dunkle, we all run Flying Monkey Con, so we do it as a team. All of us kind of have our own tasks, our own jobs that we do. So it's a little bit easier because I'm not doing it by myself. So there's three of us that are working and stuff. And then, like, Matt's mom, my girlfriend's helping out. We got buddies on the local Flying Monkeys team that do stuff for us. So there's a lot of pieces and people involved. But the big thing that we had to do was, like I told you, if like, the governor says we can't run it, we can't. You know, like, if it doesn't fit the rules, we can't. So not only do we have that, we also had to worry about what the hotel's rules are. So we had to get a hold of the hotel. We basically wrote out a floor plan. And I was telling Adam earlier that, like, there's three separate – big banquet hall is always ours every year. And you can stuff hundreds and hundreds of people into it. But you can also section it off into three separate ballrooms. And so what we're going to do is we're going to separate it off into three separate ballrooms. Masks are mandatory because the state says they're mandatory, so everybody's got to bring their mask. And we're going to make sure that, you know, players are doing the things like the hand sanitizer, the washing their hands. All the tables are over 6 feet apart. I think the hard part is we're going to have to encourage players to kind of stay on their own side of the table, you know, which – I'm sure I'm going to be yelling at people all fucking weekend, but, you know, as a cop for 20 years, I'm used to yelling at people. So, you know, there's a lot of rules that we had to do. So what we had to do basically was get our plan together, and our plan had to work within what the state's guidelines are and what our local health department ordered. And then the hotel was like, we're going to go run it by our legal, and if legal says no, you know, we were basically going to be dead in the water for this year. And the hotel sent it to their legal, and the legal went over our plan. And then they came back and said, like, it looks like they're within the guidelines, so they're good to go.
Nice.
So that's where we're at. And so we're hoping everything kind of stays the status quo. Because, like, if next week, if the governor comes out and says something like, I'm rolling back to this phase or I'm changing this rules, like, we're basically like, well, fuck, we're done. So we can't we're not going to be able to do it if she does that, but we'll see. It's not, I don't think it's doing horrible here. And, I think people in general are following the rules. So I hope they continue to do that.
How many people do you have kind of confirmed for, the con?
Well, we're a major. Last year we wanted to do 100 this year, and, we'd set up to do, 100 and then have a buffer for some extras, and that's not going to happen. So we're at 80, so we have 80 that are
in the era of the Rona.
it's still going to be a pretty good sized tournament. You know, I'm interested to see if all 80 of those will show up. But I still think we have some buffer to be a major, even if most of all of those don't show up. But
hell, if I could, I'd fly out there to play now.
Yeah, it'd be cool, man. It's a, you know, it's weird. It's like, I just, you know, I never thought that we'd be doing this in this environment, but I think something that a lot of people are overlooking is a lot of folks have been cooped up at home. You know, a lot of people have been sitting in places for months, either not working, not doing the things they normally do. They're outside of their routine. And I really think there's a lot of value to in your hobby, you know, in your mental health. Getting out and meeting some buddies, doing a little bit of socializing, even if you're all wearing masks, you know, and you're all wearing protective gear, you know, at least you're in a room bullshitting with your buddies, playing your Toy Soldiers.
Right.
And a lot of that is why I think we're jumping through these hoops, because when we had the Wizards GT, like the constant conversation, like we all went, there's a big group of us that went to eat together. There's a big group of us that were, you know, hanging outside, eating off the food truck and smoking at lunch. And like everybody was like, I needed this. Like I really needed time with my buddies. I really needed to get out and do these things. And that's kind of how I feel like this is going to be too, is like a lot of the people I know are coming have like already hit me up. You know, and they're like, dude, I can't wait to get there. I haven't done anything in months. I'm super excited. And, you know, so I think if we can find like a middle ground where, you know, there's the you're trying to kill everybody people, the you're trying to kill everybody people, you need to probably take a little bit of a break and think that maybe, you know, no one's forcing these people to go. And they're making the conscious decision to be there. And maybe they need it for different reasons, and some of it is mental health and just doing something that resembles some normalcy so they can be happy for a weekend. And I think those are some important thoughts that are kind of lost when people start screeching at other people. And, you know, it's there's safety precautions, there's guidelines, and we're going to follow them. But, you know, we also want to have time. And I think a lot of people need to have a good time, especially in times like these.
Absolutely. I mean, that's there's a big, you know, kind of undercurrent conversation I always feel like I listen in on of different groups being like, oh, is LVO going to happen, right, like the super majors. And, you know, I keep thinking like, man, if shit keeps going this way by January, I see people just being like, fuck it, I'll die just to go to LVO because I can't be cooped up in my house like this, right? Like, there's that just really need, you know, you said mental health need to socialize, to be around people, to do the things you love to do that add enjoyment to your life. And I think, you know, we're going to, you know, people are going to be willing to take whatever risk there might be, whether it's high or low. I mean, I think if you're taking the precautions, it's probably pretty low, right? Like,
right.
To, you know, go and do something that is mentally good for you, right? Like that actually makes you enjoy living your life as opposed to just sitting in your home being like, well, guess I'm homeschooling my kids again. Yay.
Yeah. And I have watched Netflix. Like I'm not saying like I watch a show on Netflix. I have watched Netflix. Like I'm over watching it. Like it's and I'm probably 3/4 of the way of watching Amazon Prime. So like I need it. I'm a social person. You know, I was joking around with my girlfriend the other day when we were talking about health stuff, and I said I can't live in a bubble. You know, it's like I've been shot at, I've been stabbed, I've been in other situations. I'm willing to take this risk because I need these things, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I told Bam earlier that if I go to LVO, my wife told me I have to basically sleep in the garage for the 2 weeks after I return.
So you're like double win?
Yes.
Hey, if you make a blanket for it, I'll come out.
Ah, see, there you go.
Yeah, right. Oh my god. All right, so hopefully everything goes off from Flying Monkey Con.
Will Flying Monkey be the first major of?
Well, the way things are going, if everyone shows up, it could be the largest tournament in the world.
Hey, and so that's what's funny is like accidentally, I was the first tournament of the night, and then I'll be the first major accidentally. It's like
some people have greatness thrust upon them, right?
I suppose, man. I suppose. So
we talked about Dan.
Yeah,
we talked about Dan winning the event. What other armies did you basically? Because I know right now everybody's kind of like, "Hey, I'll try this. This should work, right?" Everyone's theory crafting, and we're able to put it to the tabletop now. So I'm wondering what you saw kind of rise to the top. As we know, what came in first? What else was second and third?
So I can't remember the placing. I know Ben was third with Grey Knights.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think what was second. Good Lord. I want to say Custodes were second.
Yeah, I think it was.
That tracks.
I think Cookie was second with Custodes.
Okay.
A teammate of Dan's. So, and then fourth was Duncan with Blood Angels, I'm pretty sure. And then we had the Xenos list up there. Colin Burns played some Vibro Cannons and some Hornets.
Okay.
And
I haven't seen a Hornet in a while.
I know, but in I think a few of his games he managed to go first, and it was just so much firepower that he, you know, was torching stuff to where it was limping along and unsalvageable. So, but the things I saw as far as the meta, I think Death Guard, you know, they're pillow fisted, but Death Guard, if you can play them right and you can learn to play the secondaries, you can learn to play the primary missions in a way with them, then I think they're going to be a good solid army. I saw some guys that kind of threw together some Death Guard lists that were better than I think they thought they were going to be. And with a little bit of tweaking and a little bit of play, I think Death Guard are going to be solid contenders. I don't think they're top tier. I think they're like mid-top tier, but in the hands of a really good player, I think they could win a GT. I'm not, you know, I might be a little bit overly, I guess, optimistic about that, but I was watching them and just the durability of the units and the ability to control the board and not go away scores them a lot of points. Hmm. And Custodes are just, they're tough. I think Custodes is going to take a bit more skill than some people think because, you know, we had high level guys playing Custodes and then we had, you know, filthy casuals playing Custodes. You know, and the filthy casuals were definitely the mid-table heroes. You know, they weren't winning or losing any more than anybody else. But the guys that were kind of towards the top playing Custodes, you know, had a really good list. Mm-hmm. Grey Knights, and I think double Paladin Bomb is dead. I think tons of strike squads on the board are dead. I think you're going to see some lists with some, you know, Grandmaster Dread Knights, Terminators as troop choices as opposed to strike squads.
Right.
Because their Terminators are super durable, you know, especially when you calculate things like, you know, cover or warning staves. And I think there are some really good Grey Knights lists that can, you know, win GTs, win missions pretty well. And you got to play to their durability, though. I think if you do the old, you know, one wound, three up power armor, Grey Knights just flooding the board, you're not gonna do very well. But Terminators are good. You know, baby carriers are where it's at. And the thing about Grey Knights too is I think a lot of people forget how mobile they are. And you know, with things like I don't know what their Gate of Infinity.
Yeah.
You know, and getting around the board, you know, if you can just keep gating durable stuff to where it needs to be on the board and score those primaries or score those secondaries, Grey Knights could be solid. So, like, the top three, I guess, I would have had to pick out of there, you know, would be Grey Knights, Custodes, and Death Guard had a good showing. That's not to say that's where it's at for this edition. You know, I think there are other things out there. You know, I've been playing around with a Space Wolves Dreadnought list. I've been running my Chaos Power Rangers list, you know, and that stuff's all T7 with invuln saves, a ton of wounds, and it can smack you whenever you go touch it in close combat. And those things are where you should be looking, I think. It's you got to be able to kill stuff off of objectives, and you got to be able to hold an objective. And you got to be able to move around the board. And that's kind of the things I think that are different this edition as opposed to, like, what happened with, like, the Richard Siegler, you know, Iron Warriors list where Iron Hands list where he could castle up in a corner, you know, have the unkillable Leviathan, and then just by attrition you're going to lose the game. You know, I think the way the missions are, the positive thing about them, in my mind, is you have to go out and play the board. You know,
right.
At the end of the day, you have to go out and play the board. If you don't do that, you're going to lose the game.
It doesn't care.
You know,
it doesn't matter
how much shit you kill.
Right.
So that's kind of my takeaway as far as our meta. And I have heard a couple people say, you know, like, well, nobody was there. And I'm like, well, maybe nobody from your East Coast. Maybe nobody from your West Coast. But,
right.
you know, there were four or five guys there who have won GTs, you know, in the Midwest, and you see their name on a roster, you know that they're guys that you're going to have a game. You know, Ben Sherwin comes to LVO. He's a contender at LVO. Dan Salmon terrorizes this region, but he hasn't ever really made it to LVO. And, you know, there's some really solid players that are capable of winning a GT that were at this tournament, and that's what settled out of that meta. So if someone thought otherwise, they're wrong.
Well, like, compared to other, like, we've had a couple GTs since yours, and I'm looking at the lists for them, one in the UK, one in Australia, and one in Canada, which I'm not going to count because the Boz won that one, so it doesn't count.
So everybody's derelict cousins are doing GTs, is what you're saying.
But in the UK at the Vanguard event, it was Salamander's, or Salamander's successor.
It was, I mean, but also part of it was Alex Harrison.
Were water bottles involved?
I don't think so. And did he know his rules?
Right. No, I've actually been working on a Salamander successor chapter list. There's some play there.
Yeah, his has flamestorm aggressors with, but he takes the long range marksman.
Yeah, so they can flame you out of reserve. You can just reserve them, and they walk on the board and be like, "Fuck you,
and then
you
die." Drop that strap that goes like, "Here's the six shots each for these bitches, and I'm plus one to wound. Eat it."
So, yeah,
that's good. It's good.
There's a Nurgling list.
Hey, speaking of which, did you see Goonhammer? Goonhammer the other day wrote an article, and basically we're talking trash about how Flamer Centurions and Flamer Aggressors were trash, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then they came back later, and they're like, "Our bad, except for Salamanders." And I was like, yeah. So, I talked over you, Adam. Sorry, man.
That's all right. No, that's fine. But second place was what we saw kind of early eighth was the Swarm Horde kind of thing.
Yeah, Nurgling list.
But this one was not Razorwing Flocks. This is actually Nurglings. That came in second, and then third was Custodes, which you kind of discussed earlier with their durability.
And when I said Death Guard, there were some. I might have said Death Guard, but one of the lists I was thinking about was a Nurgle list.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that.
If you look at the list, his is Death Guard and with Nurglings. Because you can take Nurglings as troops in Death Guard.
But again, look at Nurglings as a unit, though. You know, sure, on paper, they're toughness, too. But, like, you're sitting on the 5-up demon save, a 5-up disgusting resilience, you know, unless it's multiple damage weapons. And, dude, infiltrate is so fucking valuable in this edition. Yeah. Like, if you can put the, you know, fat units and Nurglings on objectives early in the game, you know, someone's going to waste a lot of firepower trying to kill Nurglings off of objectives while the other stuff is working.
And this list has obviously Plague Burst Crawlers also, so.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, something you mentioned earlier, Bam, about, you know, in the kind of ITC 8th edition, it was, you know, scoring was every turn you were scoring a certain amount of points, and you really couldn't say until the game was over. Now, you can max out your primary in 3 turns. You need 3 good turns, and then it doesn't fucking matter. Right. So a list like that, you can box everyone out and be like, cool, I'm going to hit my 45 on the primary really fast. Then I don't have to care. And I just have to deny you 45 on the primary and make sure I'm denying secondaries to you and I'm going to win.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, the other GT was in Australia, and that one actually had
British criminals.
Yes. And that actually had orcs winning, but a buggy heavy orc list.
But look at the buggy. What is a buggy? A buggy is a multi-wound.
Yes.
Durable unit that's not toughness 4. What are they, toughness 5, toughness 6?
At least 6, if not 7, depending on the model.
I thought they were 5.
And then there's a certain way to get them saved.
Yeah, I mean, but this guy, he had basically every buggy that came in the Speed Freaks box set.
Yeah.
So he has the Mega Track, Scrap Jet, the Shock Jump, the Custom Boost, the Blast, the Snaz Wagon, and he has the Bone Breakers, a couple of Bone Breakers, which are
The Battle Wagons. Those are good. I mean, those were good before, because they have a reliable out of reserve charge. So,
yeah.
Well, and you put all them durable, fast moving units on a smaller board. I can see it.
Oh yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, like, if Tau shifts to, like, fucking Tetras, right? Like, where, again, you have, like, these really fast, much more durable than infantry kind of models that you can shove up the boards, you know, kind of take over, and just play that game until you're, while your big hits, you know, your Riptides are just taking out key threats and kind of trying to shoot things off objectives as much as they can.
Yeah, but they're not.
Man, Riptides, fuck Tau. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, no. No one actually likes Tau.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I just...
No, go ahead, Danny.
I was going to say, it's interesting, like, you know, the I saw that orc list, and, you know, I think we were joking of, like, damn, we need Canwall back, right? Like, we need a Canwall arc.
I'm so about building that list.
And I think it's a little more resilient, but it's slower, and I think that's the advantage of the dragster list. Right, it's just you're able to jump on people immediately, right? Like just absolutely immediately, you're on top of them, and you can sacrifice things to just gum them up, right? Like a first turn charge, where like, oh, I'll kill something not important, probably die, but you just wasted a turn or two turns that you can't get a unit or two into the center to start contesting me.
Right, especially with only five turns now.
Yeah, the five turns is actually, Bam, did you guys notice that of like it being actually a different game losing that last turn?
I don't think so. You know, it feels short to me, you know, cause I think I've been used to six rounds or six turns, and the games that I've played, you know, I've had to tell myself like, oh shit, I only got two more turns, you know, oh shit, I've only got, cause it feels, dude, at the end of turn three, it feels a lot different, you know, that, at the end of turn three, you're not halfway through. Like, you're over the hump. Like, you know, you're almost there. And
you're in the end game.
Yeah, it's like, and like you talked about, if you can jump out and dominate for three turns, you know, you can coast four and five. You know, whereas before, you couldn't necessarily coast four, five, and six. And, you know, I don't know. I don't think it's a bad change to the game. I think... you know, a lot of people talking about speeding up the game. I have this theory that people rise to their level of expectations. If you made a four-hour round, people would finish their games at 4 hours still. If you made it 3 hours, people would finish it three. If you made it two, people would finish it two. Like, someone's going to take it exactly to the timer, no matter what timer you set up.
Yeah.
So I just think as a community, we need to, you know, figure out where we want our games to finish at and do it, because them deal holes are still going to take forever anyways.
Yeah, slow players are going to be slow, whether maliciously or just because they are slow, because they don't play that often, they don't know the rules, right? Like, they don't make decisions quickly, whatever it might be, right? Like, I mean, anyone who plays at a local game store can tell you that you kind of know who the slow players are, and it doesn't really matter what you do. It could be a 1,000-point tournament, and they'd still, all their games would go to time.
Speaking of the rules, though, Bam, was there any big rules issues or that you were aware of?
So, yeah, we had a little bit of a dude. One of my local guys. First off, he's a preacher, and so he's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet in your life. Like, he's one of the good dudes. Like, he carries himself like you'd think a good guy would, and he loves 40K, and he plays Grey Knights, which we make all kinds of jokes about.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude, there's a weird way. I'll send it to you when we get off the chat, Adam.
Okay.
But if you read the rare rules in the GT packet, right,
mm-hmm.
There's a place where it talks about light terrain and the effects of cover,
yes.
Blah, 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 blah. Well, Tide of Shadows, the way it's worded, if you stay in the Tide of Shadows with Grey Knights, basically it puts Grey Knights in a situation where they always are at a negative one to hit. And you read it over and over and over, and like you could see that like when they wrote the Grey Knight Tide, they didn't intend for it to interact with the new GT,
yeah.
You know, rare rules that way. But rules is written, Grey Knights are negative one to hit, you know, if they stay in the Tide of Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, so Mark does it, and Mark ends up playing Ben, you know, both of them playing Grey Knights. And next, you know, now I got two players, you know, playing Grey Knights or negative one to hit. And I'm like, man, I don't know if I got time for this today, but, and there was also some issues with resolving the, I think the, like the Sinish always fighting first versus the Nurgle.
Always
fighting
last.
You fight last. And there's some, and then also whenever something can interrupt, because I think there's some vague wording in the, I don't know what the interrupt strat's called, but you know the two CP strat where you can interrupt. Does that happen after the Chargers fought? Does it happen after one Chargers fought? You know, if it, now if you throw into there, this unit makes this unit fight last, this unit makes this unit fight first. You know, in addition to that 2CP interrupt strat, there was a lot of, like, order of operations things that we had to walk through and figure out. And we might have figured them out wrong, but I think they need really cleared up at some point. So I'm hoping that they get cleared up. That was the biggest issue I had was sometimes the order of operations, and I think some of the old strats were worded in ways that they interacted with new rules. In unintentional ways. Okay. And I think as the book and the editions come out, that hopefully that language gets cleared up, you know.
Okay. Yeah, so real quick, going back to the Australian GT, the second place was actually Space Wolves. And Space Wolves use the...
My people.
Well, I don't know if you allowed it, if you played it, if you played it raw... Where everything is obstacle.
Objective secured. Yeah.
Well, that's how they play.
I had got to play my Space Wolves in the tournament, so I hadn't got to argue it yet. So
but they allowed it as written. So they basically get obstacle wolfen is what apparently
seems good.
Yeah. So three units is of obstacle wolfen, and then a couple of the new assault intercessors. With and then there's Ragnar Blackmane. So
yeah, why not?
Yeah, I mean, there's more to it, but that's more or less what stands out to me.
Yeah, Ragnar. I'm the unpopular opinion of Ragnar. Ragnar's going to kill something and then die, and then you got to pay a impulsor tax to make Ragnar worth a shit. So,
yeah, there's an impulsor in there too.
I don't know. I like the idea of the list. I don't think Space Wolves are going to stay objective secured for a while. No. I have a list that I've written where I've got, Venerable Dreadnoughts, Wolfen Dreadnoughts, Murderfang, and Bjorn. So it's like eight some Dreadnoughts, and all the Dreadnoughts are objective secured. So I think I'm going to run that bus till the wheels fall off. I don't think they did that on purpose, but they did it. So
it'll probably be fixed
in October when the Space Marine Codex comes out.
Yeah, cause they're rolled into that. So
yeah. Dude, I've heard people being salty about that, and honestly, like, you know, Adam, you and I have played this game a bit, and, you know, that's how the Space Wolves used to be. Yeah. You used to get your Space Wolves out of the Space Marine book, and then you got a little supplement down the road that was, you know, a few pages and a $12 pamphlet book to play your shit. So.
And basically it was like, here's your special units just for your chapter. Everything else, please refer to the Space Marines Codex.
Yep, and that's what it would say.
Yeah.
It would say, like, look in Codex Space Marines. And
I wouldn't be surprised if it goes back to that, because you're gonna have Space Wolves, Dark Angels, Blood Angels in the regular Space Marines.
Fine with that, though. Like, I fucking want Centurions. I want to be able to play Grav. You know, I want a Thunderfire Cannon. You know, all that shit that everybody else was fucking wrecking boards with. You know, I had to sit there with my shitty-ass Thunderwolf Cav and, you know, oh, cool.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. And also, like, I don't know why people complain of, like, have you seen the shit Space Marines have been getting? Like, why wouldn't you want that?
Yeah.
Like, why don't you want to be lumped in with the, when GW decides to be like, you know what? Our poster boys, fuck it, make them broken. Just, you know,
Sign me up. Yeah.
So I know Danny,
the one thing I did see where you saw the leaked, chapter traits. Looked like the Space Wolves Army wide get heroic intervention, so like I'm all on board with that.
Oof,
it's a big that's one. Great. I mean, that's one of those places where that's a lot of that's the mileage you get by being good is so much more than just if you're like, oh, I love Space Wolves, right? Like you're good at the game, heroic intervention is so crippling and can just fuck your opponent so bad, but you have to be game to get mileage out of it, right? Like, it's just not something you just, you know, it's not the pre-nerf Castellan of, I point this, things die, brr. Castellan goes, brr.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but Danny, you played a game recently, correct?
Yeah, I played Tom and his Custodes with now, my Tyranids.
If you want to see that, Danny uploaded it earlier today to our YouTube channel.
Yeah, it's terrible.
But I'm looking at a picture of Tom right now. It's already terrible. But how did that go for you in your Tyranids?
You know, not well. I took, you know, part of it was just it's testing. I knew he was going to play Custodes because he won't shut the fuck up about Custodes and wouldn't for like the last 3 weeks.
He won't, Brian. Trust me. Yeah. He would not talk. I'd be doing something. I could hear my phone just go off on for alerts. And whenever that happens, I know it's Tom.
Right.
Cause Tom,
it's always Tom.
Cause Tom writes in one sentence, send, another sentence, send. Another sentence said, not like one giant paragraph. Are you usually. 12? Yes.
Yes.
He looks like he is, yes.
That's how my fucking kids text me.
Yeah. Yeah, these are clearly people who have never grown up with texting where you actually had a limited number of texts and you got paid up the ass if you went over, so you made sure you crammed everything in.
T9, bitches.
Which is funny because Tom's in our chat right now. Why don't we make fun of him?
But in any case, so I knew Tom was bringing Custodes, so I wanted to kind of test a Horde-style list that was a little closer to my old 8th edition list, mm-hmm. Just to see what the difference is in durability, and I knew I wasn't going to hurt him that much. I wanted to see just how much damage that kind of list really can do against what really was a little closer army. To my old 8th, and then how quickly it would wilt, especially to Custodes who just, with bikes, who put out a shit ton of bolter shots. And it went about as well as I expected. I, you know, blitzed him early, got some points on the primary, but like, I just didn't have enough throughput to actually do meaningful damage. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like when your hive guard kill like 1.5 fucking, you know, Custodes double shooting, it's just, you know, it's just not working. But no, I mean, it was a fun game. I made, you know, rules mistakes, which is normal. And that's the one thing I don't like is I was looking at my rule book, not my GT mission book. So like I played one of the missions wrong, which wouldn't have mattered. I mean, it didn't change the outcome of the game, but, it definitely was a good kind of validation of some of my theories about, okay, let's put my list against a really bad matchup and I can see how it really works. And it went as I thought it would, which is I was picking up a lot of fucking bugs. A lot of fucking bugs.
So that didn't change.
Yeah, no, Tyranids are in a weird spot where, again, it's just we bleed secondaries is the problem. Like, if you go, pretty much, unless you're running Tyranid Primes, which are one of our only HQs without a Psyker trait, unless you're running them, even just a normal list is going to give up 10 points to Abhor the Witch with just 2 Psykers, and you're going to have more Synapse than that. Which means more Psykers. So you're already giving up a Abhor the Witch. If you go Horde, you're giving up the anti-Horde one. If you go Monster Mash, you're giving up the anti-Monster one, right? Like, you're just, your opponent pretty much always has 2 good kill secondaries on you that they can max out, and that sucks, right? Because then they only need to pick 1 board control secondary that they can max. And, you're pretty much like, great, my opponent's getting 45 on the second. That sucks. And it's just, you know, Tyranids don't actually have a lot of teeth. They're a board control army that is outpaced by other board control armies. We're really fast. We have good psychic, but our melee is just gone down.
And you have shit for anvil and saves.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. We can get a 6+, you know, you can get a 6+ on the little bugs, which isn't enough. So, you know, what I really want to test, I just don't have the models. I'll just have to proxy hammer for it is a warriors. Cause I feel like Leviathan warriors who got a 4+ armor save, RT 4, 3 wounds apiece, only 7 points per wound. And then, you know, you give them a 6++, feel no pain, that they're cheap enough and they're infantry that you can spam them MSU style. Some go forward, just kind of get in the way. They are OPSEC. Others get you actions, right? And, they're just relatively durable for their points, far more than gaunts or anything else is. And then you have to, I think, back it up by probably psychic, and you just lean in like, well, fuck, I give up a Abhor the Witch. But
have the new morale rules really changed how you, what size of those units you bring?
Not really, because doing the math, like the old way, if you were out of synapse, was actually in 8th edition was more punishing than 9th. Although there is one where I did my fucking morale check for Hormagon Squad out of morale, and I rolled like 7 ones. So, you know, like, it is what it is. But I think warriors are just the problem, or really the thing with the... It's the coherency rules that really hurt the big units, because you have to double stack, and you have to kind of peel casualties from one flank to another so you don't end up screwing your unit and losing 20 models to get down to 5. So you take up less of the board than you probably should, or than you could have, I guess, put it that way, Nate, right? You just dominate, one unit dominates less space because you have to double stack, okay, and kind of fight ranks. But, yeah, I'm thinking with Tyranids, it's like the MSU medium based build is probably go lots of warriors, lots of zone thropes, things that, you know, you give up a Horde of the Witch, you just say, fuck that. Okay, I give it up. But you don't take a lot of big monsters. You don't take a lot of infantry, right? So you're kind of limiting the secondaries they can get against you. And then warriors are pretty resilient, and infantry and OPSEC. So, okay, you know, it's probably the best we got.
Yeah, I have my buddy Matt, who I don't think has played since Starfest when Adam was judging. basically came out of 40K retirement, and he's gotten a couple game in with Nids, and that's kind of what I'm wondering, if like they're in such a weird place, but they should be up in the queue to get a book before too long, I think.
One would hope. It's been a while. I mean, we haven't gotten a new model for Tyranids, like actually Tyranids, in like 4 years or something like that. Like it's like 4 or 5 years. I think the Broodlord was the last new model. So I would hope we'd get a new codex. It's just, you know, I'm a big fan of Tyranids. I think Jeff Robinson, rest his soul, said it the best, is that the problem with Tyranids is always Tyranid players, right? That they're a finesse army. They have a really high skill cap, but most people who play Tyranids are just kind of like, woo, you know, bugs go burr. And that doesn't work because you make one mistake with Tyranids and you're going to lose. But they can play every phase of the game really fast, do have melee, do have good shooting, do have psychic power, but you're not overwhelming in any of those categories. So if you don't play it just right, one cog out of the machine and it all just sputters dead, right? And so
they
think
they were dead fucking last at the Wizards GT. So
yeah, that doesn't shock me. It said, I mean, I love my Tyranids. There's plenty of times I play Tyranids just because I'm like bug go forward, try and get some kill. I want to, you know,
Starship Trooper shit going on.
Yeah, exactly. And I love those models, and I'm a huge fanboy of fluff and all that, but I definitely kind of accept going in. Playing Tyranids is playing 40K on hard mode, and has been since, what, fucking 4th edition?
ever since they nerfed Monster Mash.
Yeah, it was 4th. Really, since, well, what killed them in 4th was Space Wolves and Jaws of the World Wolf. Yeah. That basically was like, oh, hey, Nidzilla, fuck you.
Yeah. You're not getting that back, man. Sorry.
Pass that initiative test.
So back then, that was what, Long Fang Spam? And
it was, yes, Long Fang Spam, and then Jaws of the World Wolf.
Jaws of the World Wolf.
So we'll move on to what everyone's been waiting for, at least those in our Patreon Facebook group, is the contest.
All four of you. Here you go.
There's more than four. I can get half a hooker. So we're gonna get
that's enough.
Which half, Adam?
Yeah, it depends on which. Depends
what doesn't matter. Doing. That's enough.
It depends what you.
What if you got doing. One with like one leg and one arm? Is that where?
Still enough.
If you get inventive.
Yes.
Any port in a storm.
Or a midget.
Oh yeah.
Some people pay extra for that.
Yeah, I know, that's right. All right, so we have a bunch of prizes, not just the big Indominus box. So we'll start with the smaller prizes first. You are even if you win a prize, you're still eligible for the Indominus box. So I have them right here. So first prize is going to be a combat ruler.
Just because. Oh my god!
Maybe some dice. And that will go to Dave W. I don't want to put his last name out there because they may not want it out there. So Dave W. I'll send an email for him. Next prize are the set of objectives, which, funny enough, are 50mm bases, as opposed to the regular 40mm, which are recommended, so they're still good.
Hey, minimum size is minimum.
Minimum
guys.
Is minimum, right? Minimum is minimum. So this will go to Cert, who just gave Cert as his name, which you can't read because it's not focusing.
Cert?
Cert, that's all he put. Well, I have his email, so it's all that matters. I'll send him the email
I feel like these are all Tommy's alts.
It could. You know what's funny is we have a very large club for our team, and only like two or three of them actually help us out with the Patreon.
Of course, because
now for those that maybe want to play Crusade, I have the Crusade journal.
You can write your feelings
in there, how your games are going, and that one goes to Aaron Cole. If you can maybe see the name.
We can't, so just me.
Okay, then I'll just say the name. Say my name. All right. Then I have two books, because I have a lot of books. They're both the same. They're The Spear of the Emperor, which is the Aaron Dempsey Bowden recent book. And it's the paperback version, so not the hardback version. The first one will go to John S., so I get to save on shipping. I don't know if he reads, though. And the second one, maybe one of his kids could read it.
Oh, your brother, John?
Yes.
We don't have that whole, thing, you can't win if you're a relation of blah, blah, blah.
Not for the little stuff.
Damn.
The big stuff is, then the other book will go to Dan H., because I can't pronounce his last name. But luckily there's only one name of each. And then that's it for the small prizes.
Let's get to the big one.
Last but not least, to prove that I actually... This thing's fucking heavy. To prove that I actually had it. So here it is, the Indominus box set. So... Yeah, the ship... Hopefully it's not someone in Australia, because the shipping will kill me. I can't be...
Cash on delivery.
Cash on delivery. It's going to go COD. That will go to Adam V.
Oh, hey, Adam. Awesome.
Who is actually a longtime Patreon member.
He is. He's been with us for a long time.
But so that's it for the contest, short and sweet. Thank you, everybody, that basically helped us with this
money.
And helped us get this contest going. I'll email everybody for the information to where to send it. And so we'll move on to the last part of the show, which is and if you're watching right now on Twitch, if you have any questions.
Now's the time to fire them
now
off.
Now's the time, especially with Bam here.
The Bam.
The Bam.
The most productive 40K TO in the world right now.
Currently. Bam, how'd you get the nickname? How'd you get the nickname Bam Bam? I'm assuming it's a Flintstones reference.
It was from playing football in high school.
Oh, okay.
I like to hit people.
D-line?
What's that?
I said D-line.
Actually, I was skinny back then, so D-back.
But... Oh, okay, there you go.
So...
It's like my nephew... He's like a, little twig, but he runs fast. But all of his football coaches love him because he will hit a kid 40 pounds heavier than him going full sprint, not care, right? He just, he's always running downhill and he does not think he is as small as he is. And you know what? I've seen him truck a lot of fucking kids.
Yeah, no, I did play a little bit of nose guard, so I can't lie about that. But in general, I played middle linebacker.
Yeah, I was still chunky even when I was young, so I played O-line and center especially.
Yeah, I didn't get fucking fat until I got out of the Army, so.
But John from Laverne is asking about John, our John, Salty John's, which I mentioned earlier, because he'll be taking part in the Battle of Little Bighorn reenactment if they allow it. And whether he'd be part of Reno's group or Custard's group, I'd say he would try to be part of Reno's group. Danny, what do you think, knowing John?
No, I feel like, at the end of the day, John's thirst for reenactment is only comparable to his fame chasing way. So he'd want to be with Custard, just because that's really who people remember.
I think John's gonna bitch no matter who he reenacts with.
That's true.
Well, that's part of reenact. It's like playing 40K too. Like you part of the hobby is bitching, right? Like,
part of the hobby is bitching about the hobby.
Yes. Tom from Pasadena is asking why don't you lean into Monster Mash more, Danny?
Because most Tyranid monsters aren't that great. At the end of the day, the biggest damage dealers are melee, which is kind of hard to get them. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Demacheron, mm-hmm. The Forge World Super Lictor, just because it ignores vertical distance, for in terms of navigating terrain in the movement phase. So you can just hide him behind a ruin, and then jump over the ruin literally and get into the middle of the board, and they fucking destroy anything multi-wound, like infantry. So they'll scythe through Terminators without much of a problem.
What point of effects is that?
Corn effects are just expensive. Like, they upped the prices on them more than they needed to. So, like, you know, it's, when you put on the guns and the equipment, you're talking 130, 140 points for, you know, a corn effects, which isn't horribly expensive compared to other things, but they, I'll put it this way, 24 shrink 6 shots sucks now. Because almost everything has a 2+ or 3+ armor save, right? So you're hitting on 4s, you're wounding on maybe 3s, they're saving on 2s or 3s, right? So you're really not doing that much damage. And you know, T7 with 8 wounds isn't that survivable, right? Like, you know, that can go down to any kind of decent fire, or, you know, basically a couple meltas. So they're pricey. They're multi-threat, which is nice. I just don't think they're cheap enough, or durable enough to really work, right? If they were a little more durable or a little cheaper, I think they'd be great. And they also got hurt by the lack of stacking buffs because they can't get +2 to hit anymore on the charge with the old one eye and their inherent ability. So they're not, you're not quite going to get as much accuracy in melee as you want out of them. All right. So that's,
Lunchbox is asking if there's any hope for Necrons.
They're getting a codex. Yeah. I cross my fingers.
I know. The Void Dragon, I mean, they're getting sick-ass models. So, and the Monolith is getting redone. So hopefully between the Monolith and their new terrain piece, because we're becoming Age of Sigmar, where every faction gets their own custom terrain piece, I guess, they'll actually seems like they'll have a lot more mobility, because you'll be able to teleport units around or bring units out of reserve in different ways. So I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, I think they're going to, you know, like I said, I don't know. It's going to be one of the first codexes, so I hope Kron players hadn't given up faith, because I like seeing Krons on the tabletop.
Yeah, I love the new Krons. I love the little choppy dudes, and, you know, I'll paint those and play those and try and figure out a way to make them work. I think we just have to wait to see the new codex, because early codexes in an edition are either too good or not good enough. So you kind of got to roll the dice and hope, like, too good. Yay.
Well, Danny, that doesn't fill me with much hope because obviously the Space Marines are going to be too good. So that doesn't leave.
Maybe they're both too good. Maybe they're finally going the War Machine route of fuck it, make everything broken and just let it sort out.
If everything's broken, then nothing's, nothing.
It's a fair fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We all see where that went. Klopfoot is asking, do you think Death Skull Orcs will keep their trait of objective secured in their new codex? What do you think, Bam? I was thinking way ahead, I think.
It's way down the road. And orcs need some love. They're not in a pretty spot right now. You know, I do think the changes to Gazgul were good. But they finally allowed Gazgul to give the gimmick that he gives everybody else to himself and others of his ilk. But they're in a tough spot. And I'm not sure when that codex is going to come out and drop, but it's a...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nobody has any idea.
God only knows.
All we know is Marines and Necrons are coming up fast.
I imagine, my guess would be a chaos-y thing around Christmas, because they had that big teaser about, like, you know, don't look under the Christmas tree early, and they keep mentioning the Demon Primarchs, right? Like, that keeps coming up in all the fluff everywhere, whether it be Fulgrim or Angron. So I feel like they might have a new Chaos Dex soon, because I think GW is finally getting smart enough with their data that they realize, you know, Space Marines are the most popular faction. So, hey, got to give Space Marines their shit, right? But I think Chaos is really up there, right? Like, Chaos is definitely one of the kind of more developed fan base. So I think they know, like, okay, our Chaos Codex isn't that great right now. Chaos got hurt by the new rules because they can't soup as effectively as they used to be able to do. So, you know, what do we do?
All the edgelords that hate their dad are upset about their army. So.
I don't. It's hard to say this without knowing when they're coming out before the orcs, anyway. So, because they have a lot of traits, because they have the reroll, you know, to wound, to hit. That's one of their traits. They have, and then along with the obsec, so they have a number of traits, not just one or two. So I can see them maybe taking that away, or giving it to them. I don't know. They gave Space Wolves object everything, so I don't know why not.
Hey, so, fellas, it's about midnight where I'm at, so yeah. I'm going to probably
get some sleep, man. Yeah.
Okay. But, well, it was thank a pleasure. You for coming on, man.
Hey, dude, anytime. So just hit me up, Adam. You know how to find me.
Yeah.
All right. I'll see you guys soon.
All right.
Take it easy, man.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, with that being said, I think we're more or less at the end of the. Lunchbox says. The hard part with the Necrons is getting them across the board because they don't really have a fast transport, really. I mean, I guess the Ghost Arcs.
Yeah, but I mean, the Ghost Arcs can't carry everybody, can they?
No.
I mean, like I said, I think we'll... I think from what it looks like, what they've talked about with the kind of previews of the Monolith and whatever the fucking name of the new terrain pieces, that Necrons are going to have really low initial movement, but they're going to have a lot of teleportation tricks, right? So we'll see how that pans out. But, you know, there's also, like, I don't know, you can pay CP to just outflank things now. So, you know, if you've got melee type things, just hope you roll a 9, right? Like, I don't know. Hey, flayed ones. Isn't there something that boosts flayed one movement?
I don't know.
Or charges? I don't know. I forgot.
I think we'll call it here, though. Thank you, everybody, for listening and for watching. Thank you for everybody that helped out with the contest. I'll get me email everybody to get their mailing information.
Congrats, Adam V, on winning an Indominus. If you don't want those Outriders, let me know.
Please let me know. I need to take some weight off of that package. we'll see you in a couple weeks. John should be back. I don't know.
Let's hope.
I don't know if Tom will be back since he'll have a kid by then. But everyone get out there. Stay safe. If you can, play some games. Hopefully I'll get a game on Sunday with my brother. But, Danny, anything else before we go? Any last words?
Wash your damn hands. I don't know. I think the biggest thing is play games and experiment. Like, don't, especially in the beginning of a new edition, don't try and go like, oh, man, I've been undefeated for 20 games with this list. Like, yeah. Play different lists, play lists that you don't know are good, because that's the only way to find out what is really good or not, right, is to play games. So, exactly. Play games.
Okay, well, again, thank you everybody for listening. Good night, and have a pleasant tomorrow.